This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent and diverse campus community radio from Simon Fraser University.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
And good Wednesday morning to you, and Happy New Year. Welcome to Intravenous for 2024. Holy smokes. I'm Robin, and I'm joined with Pranjali. Hello.
Hello, hello. This is awesome. New Year, new start, and I'm here at CGSF. So super excited to talk about whatever, you know, and also get started about the new year. I know there's a lot happening. I know holidays can be a lot for some people. But no, here we are, starting again.
Indeed. Yeah. How were your holidays?
It was slower than usual. I finished my finals like on 20th or 19th. So I didn't really have too much time to go somewhere. So I just was just here with my family, some family and some friends, and then I just hanged out. So not as much fun as it was last year when I was in the States. So it was a more, you know, setback, relaxing, chill, but not chill because it did not snow. So yeah, that was my holiday. But how about you?
Yeah, it was. I would have to say it's kind of a mixed bag. My partner and I went to Calgary for the Christmas days, because that's where my family hails. Mm-hmm. And my dad and my stepmom passed away this year. And so it was just us kids for Christmas. And that just felt all kinds of different things. You know, it was like, yay, we're proud of ourselves because we made certain traditional things happen that have always been in the realm of the older generation, mm-hmm. you know, to make those things happen. For instance, my sister made Grovlux, which is a salt and sugar cured salmon, mm-hmm. that my dad has always made for forever and ever and ever. And she made Vina Tarta, which is a dessert that's layered, mm-hmm. and delicious.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because she was going to make it because my stepmom always made it and my grandma always made it also. And so she wanted to sort of, you know, make it in honor, mm-hmm. of these two matriarchal women in our lives. And she sent me a picture of it. And she's like, oh, my God, it's such a dog's breakfast, because it's, you know, you roll out this pastry, mm-hmm. into a really, really thin layer, and then you bake them in the oven, and then you spread them with prune jam in the middle, and it's like 14 layers of 7 cookie layers and 7 jam layers, and then it sets and kind of softens in the fridge, mm-hmm. for a week or whatever. But I said, you know, don't worry about it. If you cut the edges off, it'll just be fine. And it was beautiful and delicious. And, you know, just one of those examples of, you know, how when we do something for the first time, it always feels a little bit on the awkward side, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's that effort that goes into it. So, yeah, but it's, you know, I know that I'm not the only one who's lost loved people this year, and holidays and anniversaries are always really, they're really tough because you miss your people. Mm-hmm. So So that was part of it too, and nice to just be able to kind of rest into some of those moments where I felt like I was missing my having a bigger family. But yeah, here we are, 2024.
Well, I don't know if people know that, or maybe I told them sometime, when I was doing my own shows. Like 23 is the number. It's a very interesting number in my life. So it's no longer 2023 now. So I'm happy about it. I don't know about other things, but I'm super excited. Work-wise also, and academic-wise as well, I think lots is changing in my life, and holidays gave me a chance to sit back and relax for a bit before I changed gears and got into this mammoth. There's a lot that I need to deal with. I know it's the first week, but there is so much that I need to do already. How is it possible? But no, that's the reality. So that's happening to me right now.
I know you always kind of think that January is going to start with a little bit of ease into things, but no, it just hits like a hurricane, and then here we are already on the third. Uh-huh. I was looking at the calendar today. I was like, how is it January 3rd already? So, yeah. Oh, my goodness. We are going to have a little bit of a song break. And then and then we're going to come back because our third wheel has joined us in the studio. And we want to get Tina set up here to be able to chat with us. So we're going to have a listen to a song. Let's
do the Honeycomb song then.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think we'll have the major conversations about women and journalism and gender and journalism. That's the topic for today. So.
Yeah. Well, the gender gap in the media in general, I think.
As well. Yeah.
We'll have a chat about. So, do you want to say a few words about this song?
I think I have played it quite a few times in my shows here, but it's a female artist based in Canada, and it's a very nice poppy music. And I don't know why this video or this artist does not have enough views, but I really like their music. They should have more reach, but it's very unfortunate how the industry, music industry works. So I don't know what to say, but yeah, enjoy the music.
Yeah, click on it. Get our algorithms up. This is Eva with Honeycomb here on Intravenous. CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio.
Shine. No more bed nights, a rosy
That's Eva with Honeycomb here on Intravenous Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh people. I'm Robin, and I have two folks with me in the studio now. Pranjali, who you heard earlier, and hello, Tina.
Hi, everyone.
Nice to have you back with us. It's been some months.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm glad to be back on UBC, SFU campus.
No, we don't say UBC here, so just want to put it there.
We're friendly.
We're friendly, but you know.
Don't hate me.
No. We're just happy that you could join us. I know it's the new year and that it's 10 a.m. in the morning, so we're getting started, you know.
Yeah. I'm still sleeping.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me here.
Pranjali and I checked in on how our holiday season and New Year was. Do you want to chime in on that? How does it feel to be through the holiday season and jumping into 2024?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I think I heard a little bit of what she was talking about. 2023 was pretty rough for me as well, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, true.
And I've already made like 10 New Year's resolutions, and I think I'm gonna break all of them.
No, so you are a resolution person. I am totally not.
Oh.
Because I know if I say something, I'll not do that. it's hard to, you know, I've never done that. Like, I've never done resolutions because I can never, like, have. Because things are ever changing. Every second, life is changing. So I don't know if I can do what I say I want to, like, do this year. You know what I mean? that's me.
Yeah. How do you find you keep your resolutions? Is it something that you can really adhere to, or do you struggle with that?
I struggle with adhering to it.
Mm-hmm.
But
what kind of resolutions do you generally make?
Last year my resolution was to get abs. It's very vague. I think you need to make SMART goals, mm-hmm. attainable. Like, I forgot the acronym, but yeah, with a deadline, mm-hmm. everything.
Right. Yeah. Measurable.
Yeah. All those stuff. But
achievable.
It was just very vague. It was just get abs, and I did not get abs. So that's why I'm saying that it doesn't really work. But I just do it to motivate myself.
No,
that's
good.
I went to the gym once a week. You know, something.
That is still so much better. Yeah. Because I also thought that I, you know, have some more time to myself. You know, I'll do some self-care every week. I'll relax, chill a little bit in my life. But then I ended up in grad school. So that's a memory. So, you know, things keep changing. And I feel like we should not try to, like, push ourselves too much, because we tend to do that a lot, especially as females. We are taught to, you know, hustle, do something, be a certain kind, say things in a certain way, look this way, that way, whatever. And it's not healthy, especially if you are like a young adult or a teenager. It's not, you don't want to do that. It's okay. You know.
I think even as an older adult,
that's true.
there's a certain kind of expectation and pressure that we can put on ourselves, right? That when it backfires and we don't make it to the gym, when we don't end up with abs, or, you know, that expectation that we had at the beginning of the year, it gives us something to beat ourselves up about, which mm-hmm. doesn't serve the purpose that it was meant to in the beginning. I'm not a very good list maker myself, but I did make resolutions for a little while, and like you, Tina, I was like, oh man, this is just not working for me. I'm failing dramatically at this list. And I had a conversation with a friend who sort of changed my perspective on how to do it in a way that is a little bit more smart. And so now I tend to think about what my goals are for the year, rather than make resolutions that feel like they're kind of carved in stone, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, if I don't, you know, completely become left-handed from being right-handed, then, you know, like...
Love that. No, it's funny that you use the word expectations in there, because I'm working on something that actually relates to the word expectation and imaginaries and the promises of technology. So I was like, But that's true. As human beings, also, we put expectations on ourselves and on things around us and on our relationships to those things. So it's very interesting that, yeah, resolution is also a way in which we put expectations on how our year should look like or how our actions this year should look like. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I agree.
No, that's awesome. You know, resolutions, I've never done that. My siblings do that, but I just can never do that. I don't know. It's not also very, I think it's a cultural thing too. Also, like holidays, Christmas is not that particularly big. It's a holiday. It's important. It's like, you know, families get together, but it's not something very embedded in our culture per se. For example, like Lunar Year is different from the calendar, like New Year that we have. So it's different for different cultures, I think, also.
Yeah. And the religiosity that, you know, sort of embeds and surrounds Christmas is different culturally, absolutely, and big here in the West, where, you know, we're kind of indoctrinated into that.
I feel like it's just... for capitalism.
Christianity.
Sometimes.
Well, that's true. I feel that. Yeah, I just didn't want to say that.
Truth is coming out. Christmas is...
well, all of most those of holidays, it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the capitalist consumer system definitely tends to take over our lives in order to, you know, generate their wealth. So,
Yeah. I was seeing this TikTok where it was like, you know, after it hits like 26th, all the Christmas like items go out and the Valentine's items come in.
Already?
And I was like, yeah, kind of true. That's what happens also with Halloween, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, that's true. The cycle keeps on going for these people who want to like sell their items. And also I saw another article which said that this year on a record, the gap between the richest people and the common people of Canada increased exponentially. So especially with things like what is it called? I don't know the name. It's the Present Choice, the company with Loblaws. What is it?
Loblaws.
Yes. Loblaws.
So yeah, they are like earning huge record profits. On the other hand, I am struggling to get my groceries. Being a grad student and, you know, trying to navigate the housing market. And so it's very interesting how things function. And
yes.
Yeah, it's really unfair. I think the rich... it's like getting richer and the poor is like getting poorer. It's like
all kinds of gaps. And
yes.
then we have the gender gap.
Yes,
that we want to talk about today.
Yes. Do you want to kick us off on our topic?
Sure. So I actually met the professor who wrote this piece, and she works in the lab, which is called the Discourse Processing Lab, and it's also based in SFU. So her work is in like linguistics and understanding how like discourse happens and how like representation things happen from more like NLP stuff of things, so like detecting text and all those things. But I was working on something and then I stumbled upon her work, which looks really at how and why there is a gap between how the sources are represented in media, especially in like journalism sources. So the thing is called Gender Gap Tracker, and you can search it up. And the professor is Maita Tabode, and she does like awesome, great work. I love her. She's a superhuman. it has like all kinds of like cool graphics on the website. But it really, really shows how deep the disparity runs, because we really take for granted that journalism is supposed to be objective. It is supposed to be true. It is supposed to be neutral. But then what does it mean to be neutral? Does it mean that only certain kinds of voices or certain kinds of spokesmen are quoted in those outlets? So what does the objective mean when half of the population is not given as much voice as it should get? So I think, yeah, it's an important conversation to have, I think. Mm-hmm.
I think what was interesting to me about looking at this tracker, at this site, was that part of what the team studies is they comb through, I think it's seven news sites, mm-hmm. The CBC, the CTV, Global News, the National Post, the Globe and Mail, and the Star. So six. And what they look for are who's being quoted and under what auspices are they being quoted. And what they're finding is that the majority of times people are quoted, those people are men. Mm-hmm. And that the way that she's grafted out, or that the team has sort of grafted it out, you can see the ways that the gender roles are reinforced and stereotyped through the topics that people are quoted, mm-hmm. to make comment on, right? So women are more likely to make comments about health and beauty, for instance, or the domestic products, or, you know, you rarely see on TV a man doing laundry, mm-hmm. for instance.
Yeah.
Right? And if you do, it's a bumbling man. It's not a confident woman doing laundry. Mm. It's a different characterization. Mm-hmm. And so the percentage of women is low in terms of who gets quoted, but that the roles that we play in society, or the roles, and again, you know, comes back to this word of expectation, you know, how we're expected to sort of show up in the world, gets reinforced, mm. through this quoting bias, this media bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think even like we can see that gap in advertisements and how like masculinity and femininity is created, especially if you, this is so much clear. I took like an advertising class like 2 years ago, I think. And the professor actually showed the videos from like, for example, detergent ads in 1930s and then detergent ad in like 2020. So like the difference, you could see the difference. But still, the expectations of who is supposed to do the task, and mm. how, if even if it's a man, you know, putting the thing in the, what do you call it, the washer, it is understood that it is like, wow, this is Superman, like, you know, this is the kind of man that you should desire, you know, so. It is really interesting how he is considered to be doing something extraordinary, when he's just doing a laundry stuff, you know? So that's interesting to me. But whereas in like 1930s and 40s, it's really the woman who is doing these tasks using the new machines. So the machines are fetishized and they're like, wow, well, you know, we did the article, I think, 3 weeks ago now, on how like technologies were domesticated and how it impacted women. And at that time, it was like, oh, well, this is going to help you so much, you know. Your lives are becoming easier because now we have technology at home. So not realizing that it doesn't change really the dynamics of how gender plays into doing tasks like these. But coming back to like media, so I think media really, I don't know who said that. I'm pretty sure I'm mixing up the people here. But it is not that the media represents the society. It's kind of the opposite. It's the media captures, is constructed on what actually happens. So media necessarily does not show the reader. It is the reader, if that makes any sense. I don't know what I'm saying. This made more sense in my head. But, you know. But what I mean to say by this is that media sometimes is understood as creating those expectations or creating those ideals. But in actuality, that it just reflects the reality. So in some sense or the other. So if we think about masculinity and how it's created today and how it has evolved over the years and how it's like changed, I think media definitely has a role to play in how that is shaped. That was a long arc.
Yeah, I have something to add. So I actually read into like the advertising, like the reason how they portray advertisement, and the reason they put mostly women in those advertisements because women tend to stay home more often and they watch the TV more. So they usually advertise these kind of domestic products to women. That's why they would like to put women more on TV. Yeah. But obviously, if they do that more often, you would think that women are supposed to do all the chores, which is like reinforcing the gender roles and the gender gap that we have. And I think also the people that are making these ads, maybe they're mostly men or mostly maybe even women who believe in these gender roles, and that's why the ads or the news that we see portray these gender roles. And it's like a negative feedback loop or a positive feedback loop, maybe. Like, the more you see it, the more you believe in it, and then like it's hard to get out of the feedback loop. And then I'm not really sure what the solution is here, but
Trust me, like, even researchers don't know the solution. Nobody knows the solution because we have to come to it together.